Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of You Deserve Fresh Lettuce. I am your co-host, Rachel.
And I'm Delia.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking about...
I love you, but only part-time. What the heck does that mean,
right? If you're not doing so already, please be sure to follow us across all social media platforms at YDFL Podcast. And if you want to listen to the show on your favorite podcast platform, you could even ask...
Alexa. And or you could also listen to us watch on YouTube. We're actually trying to grow our following. So like, subscribe, follow, comment, share with three friends. We appreciate the support.
Yes. So. And if you're one of the people listening in one of the 28 plus countries around the world, thank you so much for your
support.
All right. Let's get into it. Part-time lovers. What is going on? What are we talking about here?
So this conversation was actually brought up to me, and I thought, this is so ingenious. And this is one of our fellow listeners, one of the Fab 15. He's out of Montana.
Hey.
His name is Melvin. And forgive me, but I know he knows who I'm talking about. He's an amazing, guy. He's constantly, messaging us and commenting. And so... this came up as a conversational subject, which is, I love you, but only part-time. And then I read the story that he sent, and these are the people that have their husband or their wives that don't live with them. They actually live in another state or in another country. They take off for 6 to 8 weeks. So technically, on paper, they're still married. But they don't have, the responsibility of a husband or a wife, per se. So
it's almost like that saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And then back in the day, it was like they went off to war. And there's all these different things, right, that you hear, firefighters are gone for several days at a time. And and there's all these, professions that still do that till this day. But we're two Mexican women here. And it is very common to see the older generation, they go to Mexico, not together, by the way. My grandparents on both sides, they went to Mexico separately. So, my grandpa would go to Mexico for, 3 months or whatever, the one on my dad's side. And then he'd come back, and then my grandma was heading to Mexico a few months later. And I was always like, why don't they go together?
I know. Well, it's kind of funny you should say, because then when he said that, I was like, wait a minute. I have one of these at home. It's called my parents.
Oh, yes.
My mom and dad, literally, for the last, 15, 16 years, my dad has a ranch in Mexico. He takes off. He leaves, December 25th on Christmas Day, Dang. He always takes off. Yeah, and of course, there's always a laugh, the jokes, right? He's going with his other family.
Oh.
And I always laugh and say, ha, ha, ha. And there's a part of me that's like, what if it's true?
There's a part of you doing the ancestry test.
The ancestry test, what if it's true? But you know what? At the end of the day, my parents have been married for 44 years. And my dad, he takes off. He's in Mexico for 5-6 months. My mom's here. She's married, but not because he's not around. And my mom, when he's around, I think she gets tired of him being around because she's so used to him not being there.
Yeah.
That when he finally gets back, she's like, okay, he kind of needs to go back to Mexico. Kind of thing sometimes, right? And I would imagine that this would be equivalent to maybe you being married to a service person, maybe in the military or even a firefighter, because, that would be really difficult to know that you are married, but if a pipe breaks in the middle of the night, you cannot call your husband if he's working. And so technically, yes, you have a significant other that is your husband, but technically... you're not married because he's not really around. And I think that would be really hard for me because I do get kind of attached. I wouldn't want him to, if he's traveling for work sometimes too, when you've heard, when you hear the stories.
Yeah, the work thing is really, it's a big thing. I know that there's a woman in this office, she's our office manager here, and she was telling us a story about her parents, and it's very unconventional in the sense of her father is this very prominent, man in business, and her mother is a socialite, and she's prominent in her own right, and they live two very different lives, but half the year they come together, for whatever reason, they have two kids together even, and then it's all right, see ya.
But it's almost what she was saying also is almost like she, the wife operates like she's single, because yes. she kind of is single and she kind of does the things like she's single. And, you know, I know people that I know personally in my sphere that, you know, will still do a lot of the things that we as single women will do. Obviously not go and date other guys yeah, or yeah. anything like that, especially if they're married. But I'm saying, like, you know, they'll still do the things like the restaurants and the dinners. And, we'll, you know, we're going to go here and go to a concert and go to a baseball game, because essentially the husband's never around. So, you know, the husband's pretty open about that, which is great. But for me, I think it's really, really hard, or it would be hard for me. But I know that there are people that this is the only way it will work.
Yes.
Because they don't want to have that person to be like, make me breakfast, make me lunch, make me dinner. And that's the case with my parents, by the way.
Oh my gosh. You know, I know that when my grandma and my grandpa, who co-raised me, my grandfather retired at the age of 55. And before that, he worked a lot for American Airlines. And so he had all kind of crazy hours and stuff like that. So my grandma was used to, just as a homemaker, being home throughout the day or the night, whatever, by herself with the kids,
yeah,
handling the household, life. running things. He retires at 55.
Reality
and now
hits.
He's there all day. The TV's on all day or whatever.
Reality
it's like
hits.
All day. It's like, babe this, babe that, mija this and that, whatever. And she was like losing her mind. I remember going in, like, visiting or whatever. I was like, oh, grandma, you know. And she's like, no, like, he needs to get hobbies. He needs to get something else. And he did. He went and joined, yeah. like, the Elks Club or the Lions Club and this, and became Neighborhood Watch. And, like, he was very active and he got very involved in the community. But I remember seeing her go through, and I was young, and I remember seeing her go through this very challenging time for her, because
right.
her systems and processes and the
she
way
already
she ran
had a flow.
Yes.
She already had a flow of how she wanted
it
things
was totally
done.
Disrupted when he was there.
Imagine. Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, we kind of be careful what you wish for, kind of like, I've heard this before too, where there's a person that's a service person, maybe he was like a captain, he's a firefighter, like I know this particular couple. He was always gone. He was never there. Ever there. The guy finally retires, by the way. And guess what happens? Like, they went from getting along amazingly because they had nothing to fight about. They hardly saw each other. They were like half of a couple, right? And all of a sudden he retires. The guy's always there. And she's like, seriously, like, I just can't stand him being here, because she's so used to just like up and going, doing her thing. Now she kind of, not that she needed to ask for permission, by the way, but I think it's different, like, when you do live with someone, to say, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to the market.
Leaving them
you
behind.
Are leaving. Yeah.
yeah.
And you have to tell them, hey, I'll be right back. It's kind of like, you know, with you, with whoever you live with, like me with whoever I live with.
Yeah.
I have to be like, hey, I'm going to go to Target really quick. I'll be right back. Because I have to be mindful that they have to know I'm going to be leaving.
Yes.
And sometimes the husbands aren't okay with that.
They're not okay with that. But, you know, I think similar. So it's kind of treading along this topic a little bit. Is the idea that we in this digital age don't allow our partners to miss us. Because
okay.
every day, several times a day, there's the text messages, the voicemail, the voice messages, the calling, the whatever, the FaceTime.
Blah, blah, blah.
And there isn't this thing.
Separation.
It's like there isn't. Like, there is no runway, no room, no space and time for our partners to miss us. And then as women, as wives, you might be calling your husband and saying, babe, oh my God, can you believe that the water hose bursted and then now the sidewalk's flat? Like, that's not sexy. Like, that's not... You know, and so at the end of the day, I think that there's this element that's new
mm-hmm.
to this generation of relationships, that it's like, how many conversations a day are you having with your significant other, and how relevant are they? And at the end of the day, like, they're not missing you. And then they get home and then it's like, oh, hey, you know, blah, 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 blah. Where in the older days, right, there was no cell phones or anything.
Right.
People were gone at work and they get home. It's like, oh, hey, honey,
yeah.
I'm home.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
Hug and a kiss.
Yes.
And, oh, my God, how was your day?
Yes,
but if
yes.
you already kind of blended all that throughout the day and the communication,
yes.
once you're sitting together, you're sitting, it's like, oh, let's just like drag down. I can't explain it. I'm trying to make a point. But the point is, I think that
I know
technology
exactly what you're
isn't
saying.
Giving us that little thing to make the heart grow fonder.
Yeah. Well, I think what it was also back in the day, in the days that you're describing, are the days where the woman was at home and she was Susie Homemaker and she's making apple pie and cookies and
or even
know,
in my parents' time, where my mom was an executive and she was a corporate executive working,
yeah.
there just wasn't cell phones. I mean, she had a brick in her car, but my dad didn't have one.
Right,
you know,
so there was no way
to communicate
call.
To his phone or to text. And I think
yeah.
you know, once text came in, it's like now everyone's just going back and forth, back and forth. Oh, can you pick up the A's? Can you do that? How? Do, do. Like, there's so much communication now with our partners that wasn't even 20 years ago. So it's kind of interesting.
It is interesting, but you're still going to hear the people that say, we just don't communicate these days. And you're like, really? Because you guys are on FaceTime all the time? Like, how is that even possible? But, you know, but I do believe that back in the day, though, going back to back in the day, even though, like, you have, like, your mom that was an executive, which is very rare, by the way, because a lot of women did not work, and it was a huge taboo. I think nowadays, like, if you don't work and you're at home, it's more of a taboo than actually having a job. And so I do believe that, you know, back then it's like you did see your significant other with a little bit more joy. Not to mention, you have to remember too that the men 9 times out of 10 paid for everything. So you by default had to have some type of, not that you would disrespect your significant other if you guys both contributed, but there was a level of respect that needed to be had when the man went out, worked, and then you as a woman stayed
behind.
He
brought home the bacon and you cook it.
And that's like the old, you know, ideology.
So, you know, if you are in your 40s, you know, you are likely have been raised by a boomer, and the boomers were the sort of sexual revolution.
Right.
They were the ones going to work. So all of these women were working women and all this kind of stuff. And we're coming into a different time, ladies. And like, you have to understand, like, many of us, unless culturally your parents were from Mexico or something like that. I had my best friend at the time. Her mom was from Mexico, so her mom was home.
Yeah.
All the other moms were out in corporate America. Yeah. My mom was in corporate America.
Right.
I had friends that the moms were surgeons, lawyers, like all these things.
A little bit of everything.
And everybody was gone.
Yeah.
And so the kids were raising, this is the famous thing about Gen Xers, that they were like raising themselves. They were home alone. There were all these things because there wasn't a two-parent household.
Right.
Was like everyone was working and building their careers. And so then you go, okay, now in that situation, the woman is also around a bunch of other men that aren't her husband more often than her own husband.
Yeah.
The husband's around other women more often than his wife because he's at work every day. Now women are in the workplace. So that was a dynamic. Then take that same dynamic, which was challenging
and
for our parents.
That's when cheating happened,
and now
guys.
All the adultery and the divorces started happening in that generation because of that. Now we have that. All of us have that plus technology. So all of us have those distractions
plus technology.
And I get it. He's at work with all these women. So you want to stay top of mind and relevant. But at the end of the day, are we now even hindering it more because we're not letting him miss us? That's what I'm kind of curious
about. It could be. I know this lady I was working for a while. She was married to a doctor, and the doctor lived in a different county and she lived in a different county, and that was still husband. And I think sometimes people do it for financial reasons just because it just makes sense to keep it on paper, because otherwise you have to divide the assets and it could be a little bit more, it could be a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
And so for her, she would probably see him, by the way, twice a year. Granted, they're a little bit older. They're a little bit older couple. But I mean, that did never stop Tim. Okay. He's probably plus 70s and or 60s, maybe 70s. And he was trying to holler at some of the nurses, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, you know, I just, in my opinion, I feel like sometimes, yes, the heart will grow fonder, but will it though? I mean,
but
when
will
you,
it?
But
it's
will
such
it?
A
like,
gamble.
I mean, two different counties. Like, she lives in this county, he lives in this county. They're about 45 minutes to an hour away from each other. And they talk to each other every day on the phone. And she refers to him as her husband, my husband, my husband. But I just think, for me, I think that is so weird. It's so weird. And even with my parents, by the way, to me, that is very weird, too. Granted, my father wants my mom to retire in Mexico, which she's absolutely never going to do, probably. And Dad, forgive me if I'm saying this, and I hope he doesn't do Google Translate in Espanol, because I don't want that. But I really doubt that my mom will actually, you know, go the full mile, move to Mexico. That's just not her flow. And, I mean, it works for them. I don't see my mom ever divorcing my dad. And I think my dad would never divorce my mom either. And there's always the running jokes, by the way, like, oh, you probably have little brothers and sisters in Mexico. And I'm like, I probably do, but
I, think that, you
I
know,
don't know.
My grandpa put it really wonderfully, where he said, marriage, the ring is about the commitment to the commitment. And I think that you get to a stage, because I was asking myself right now when you were talking, I thought, do do you get to the point where you just don't care and you don't get jealous and controlling, right, and you don't care, right? But I think then as soon as I had that thought, I thought of my grandfather, and he said, you know, 60 something years of marriage, it's like he figured out after my grandma died what the ring meant, and the ring meant a commitment to the commitment, and that so many people in this generation aren't even committed to the commitment. If the love fades, if the attraction fades, if the blah, 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 like the mistakes are made, like no one's sticking it out. Like they're not committed to growing old and doing this life together, right, for better or worse or whatever. And it was an interesting point. So I think that for me, I asked myself right now when you're talking, like, could I do that? I'm such a love bug. Like, once I have a person, like, I just, that's my person. Like, yeah, I'm a love bug. Like, how do I just go, okay, he's going to be gone for this much time?
I don't.
That's tough.
But I wonder with, like, say with my parents, I wonder how much of it is, like, for instance, for me, like, I love going to concerts, and I love traveling, and I like going out of the country, and I love going, yes, to the movies, and I like dancing, and I like, my extracurricular activities revolve around a lot of activities.
Entertainment.
And
yeah,
yes, and so, but my dad's very, like, low-key, super chill. He only cares about his cows and his cattle. Like, he didn't care about anything else. And my mom's very low-key, too, though. She does like to dance, but she doesn't like to drink. She's very chill. She's a homebody. And so I think that that's why it works for them, because I can't imagine that it would work for them if my mom was like, likes to be a socialite, likes to be out there and drinks and does this and likes to dance. And my mom's fairly young.
They're not going at the same speed.
They're
you
not
know?
Exactly. So I think that that would maybe, you know, hinder the relationship.
Yeah.
But I think it works for them because they have an understanding. They're both kind of, you know, living the same kind of life, very chill. I would imagine that if it wasn't like that, it would be a problem.
You know, what about the people, and this is probably loosely tied to this topic of the part-time thing, is like, what about the people who sleep in separate rooms? And the wife has her room, and the man has his room. And I saw a TikTok, where the guy said, look, I sleep, and he was kind of young. He's probably like 30, not even 35, if I had a guess.
Oh, no.
And they're probably married 5 years, and they have like two kids or something like that. But anyways, he said the best thing they ever did was they started sleeping in their own separate rooms. And he said, it's kind of like we're dating again, because like I'll sneak in there or she'll sneak over with me. And he goes, and we joke around when she like spends the night, or if I spend the night at her place. And he said it's been the best thing that ever happened to their marriage. They get a full night's sleep because they're not snoring and kicking each other or whatever. But they're in separate rooms. And he talked about like even the bathroom situation, that she loves having her own bathroom and I'm not messing things up in the bathroom. But the way he broke it down, I was even asking myself, like, that's some so like Lucille Ball, Ricky Ricardo stuff. But I'm like,
that seems very red flaggy to me, though.
It does?
Yeah, it does. Like, I think that in that case, like, you would just get one of those beds, like, where the one bed goes up and the other one bed goes down, and, like, you get, like, this extra big California king, and, like, then you just have, like, this massive big-ass room. I don't know. I think that would be a red flag for me, but I will add to what you just finished saying, by the way, and this is, like, super rich, you know, people status, like, kind of like the people that I know from, you know, Orange County to, like, the other county, like, rich people problems, like, they have their own houses, multi-million dollar
first
homes.
First world problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I was just watching an interview about Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker. They do not live together.
Oh,
by the way, they do not live
yet.
Together. They actually are still neighbors. And the way that they described it was, it just works for them. She still takes her kids to school. He does whatever he does with his kids. They have morning breakfast. They work out together. They're still, like, dating. And then, obviously, like, when the kids aren't around, they have two massive, probably, mansions that they can just, like, go sneak off in one of the many rooms in the mansion to just, like, go do their thing. That, to me, is a little weird, too. I know that they were saying on this particular interview that they were looking for a place that they both can live in, you know, like, with all the kids and so on.
That's theirs together.
I think the average person probably would be cool with either one of their houses. I've never seen them, but I would imagine if it's in Calabasas, it must be a massive mansion. But they're looking for that property that they haven't found. So right now, they're just doing the neighborly thing. Like,
love thy neighbor.
Like, they're like, love thy neighbor like thyself. Like, neighbor, do you have some sugar?
I think at the end of the day, if you look at the core of it, it's like, you know, many of us, we have a little hint of jealousy in us. Many of us have a little hint of control. We have hints of doubt. Like, there are some things, and it's like, relationships are already tough enough. And then it's like, you add this space during a time when you're not 100% in your own spirit about maybe your relationship. And then
with
I think other people are so solid that they don't sweat the small stuff. They're like, right. They're like we talk about with the faith. It's like, I don't worry about nothing because I know God will show me at the end and then I can go from there. Like,
yeah.
In the meantime, I'm not going to worry about nothing. And I think maybe it's a beautiful thing if you are a person watching this and you're like, I would love that scenario. I would love a scenario where my husband went away, you know, to Mexico or a different country for 3 months, or, you know, that he had a job that took right. him away most of the days or whatever. Like, where some of you are like, I could never
do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as you get older, in my opinion, even though you understand that, like, for instance, like for me, I can speak for myself. Like, I understand why I got divorced. I understand that I could and should have trust issues, but I also understand that not everyone's going to be a mother effer, and yeah. not everyone's going to be doing the trifling things, and not everyone's a bad man, and not everyone's like a cheater, a beater. Like right. you understand that, you know what, for every circumstance that's thrown at you, there is a positive thing. Like, okay, so he's gone for 2-3 months. Like, if it needs to be revealed to you, it will be revealed it to will. You on period. And it yeah. doesn't matter, like, he could be living with you, not having a job, and you know where he's at, you can have cameras inside the house. Believe me, if he wants to go out on you, he is he going will. To do it behind your back, while you're not looking, it doesn't matter.
And you know what? I'm about to inject yes. some insecurity into some of you. Ooh, I watched a it. Video on social media, because we stayed researching on this stuff. And it was, I don't know if you saw it, it was a fire truck in Hollywood, I think it was.
Oh my gosh.
And they're at a red yes. light. It didn't even pull over. The whole ass fire truck yes. engine was at a red light, and the side door opened, and a whole stripper prostitute got up, literally in a bra and panties and high heels.
And high heels.
Her little purse. Got out, and they dropped her off in front of the club that she worked at.
Yeah.
And I was like, what this? They never, and the light turned green and it kept moving. It was like such a it was split quick. Second. And so at the end of the day, if you're just a wife at home and doing that, you're never going to know about something like that. Like, unless one of the guys says, oh, you'll Slips never out. Do what we did, or so-and-so
yeah,
did.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's like, you'll it's never like know. A normal thing. They just did it. They just did it.
You're just never going to know. And, yeah. you know, at the end of the day, like, this may be something that you may be okay with. Like, that's why they have military wives.
Yes.
Because sometimes it works for them to yes. just be, like, away and then just get the benefits, which is, like, the monthly check. Yes. And sometimes it's just beneficial to just stay together, because it's a lot more detrimental to actually get divorced and to divide the assets and whatever. So, at the end of the day, like, you know that if this works for you, then great. But if it doesn't, then,
Yeah, whatever works for your marriage. You know, at the end of the day, the end goal if you're married should be for it to last forever and ever. That should be the end goal. And if you have to make adjustments and compromise and stuff like that, then, you know, we're no one to judge. We know for us, we just ask ourselves, could we do that? And if not, why? What is it with us that we can't wrap our heads around it? You know, and at the end of the day, it's just about being genuine to yourself and honest with your partner about how you feel,
how
about,
you
things
feel about things
and
yeah.
what you want to do, and then go from there. But anyways,
I mean,
that's
what
we got.
So, I mean, hey,
no matter what,
if you're a full-time lover, part-time lover, whatever it is, you know, just remember what?
You deserve
fresh
lettuce.
Cheers.